Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jesus just left Chicago, and he's not from New Orleans.
That's Billy, Dusty, and Frank bringing us back. It's a little Texas blues there. ZZ Top style. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Andy Goss is our guest. Andrew is the purveyor of andygoss.com. Is that right?
Absolutely right. Andrew, and I used your line, Age of the Customer, yesterday in the coffee shop.
You did?
That is all waiting in line. You know, I'm like, hey, you ever heard of The Age of the Customer? Without that's service, you're not even here. Come
that's
on.
Funny. That's
get
funny.
Coffee at home.
So, folks, check out his website. Andy, we're talking about, folks, this is our FedWatch show, and in the previous segment, Andy and I both agree that the Fed will not raise rates today, no matter what other people say. And I still think if they do, it's a mistake. You highlighted a couple of reasons that I hadn't even thought about why they shouldn't, which makes it even more powerful. But let's go back and talk a little bit about, you've often, I think you've been one of the detractors of the Fed to the point where you think we should abolish the Fed, right?
Well, no. The Fed serves an important function. I don't think a nation can really run without a central bank.
Okay, all right. So you're in favor of a central bank, especially since the Fed has become the global central bank.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that was a mistake. I think that brand building started in 1913. But my whole problem with the Fed is that it's privately owned. You know, I don't think
right.
the components, the member banks of the Federal Reserve System, Federal Reserve Bank of New York and so forth, I believe they should all be constituent units of the government. Hmm. So much like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the way they used to be structured, you know, they were quasi-government institutions
right.
where the profit accrued to the shareholders and the risk accrued to the owners, which
right.
was, you know, right? So the Fed is guaranteed a 6%, think of this deal, Jim, a 6% guaranteed dividend, 6% tax-free. And all of their expenses are pre-tax, so or pre-dividend. So
but
in other words,
but that's not going to any individuals.
Well, no, but it's not. But we're hearing already about the sweetheart deals. You know, the primary owners of the Fed: Goldman, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup,
right.
Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, etc. And every one of them, you hear about, you know, insider deals, where
right.
they're using the information that they garner to cut deals
well,
with the owners of the bank. Not good. Not
well,
good.
Look what they were allowed to do after 2008. They were allowed to convert to commercial banks so they could go to the window.
And Goldman did that overnight. And
yes.
this sort of thing, like if a community bank tried
no,
to do it
no,
overnight.
They would never in a million years. They wouldn't
They'd
even take
their
call.
Looking for the charter.
They
so the favorable treatment between the owners of the Fed and the Federal Reserve Bank
right.
has to stop. And the only way to stop it, in my view, not to abolish the Fed, because let's face it, any serious economist will tell you, you can't get there from here.
No.
It's like ripping a tumor out of a cancer
right.
patient. You have to slowly take care of it.
But
if we were to move the ownership of the Fed into the Treasury and let the profits inure to the Treasury, my goodness, we could offset quite a bit of that income tax.
But with a president like Obama, an anti-business president, and somebody who's basically clueless about how to improve the economy, wouldn't that scare you that he have that kind of control over it?
Well, you think about how socialist that really is, Jim. You know, it's funny, I'm so far right, I bump into people on the left. And so to me, if you're going to socialize something, hell, what makes more sense than the central bank?
Yeah.
You know, this is that wellspring of money. This is where money comes from. Why should that be in private hands? I mean,
well, another thing,
if you're true...
Another thing
if you're truly a person that believes government is better than private industry, then nationalize the Fed.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with that. But the thing that you said a minute ago about the Fed and the banks, what you just described is something you've heard me say before. That's the what I think is the definition that you just gave us is oligarch. What's
yeah,
the difference in that and oligarch?
I think. Yeah.
The Russians
yeah, that's what Lyndon LaRouche calls it, an oligarchy, and the late Aaron Russo did a movie, right, From Freedom to Fascism. It is, when you look at the typical Chinese model, right, where you have one entity controlling all means of production, all means of generation of capital.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you only have one counterparty risk. So this is the problem in China, is every bank is tied into and owned by the central bank and the government.
Right.
So if it goes broke, everybody's broke. At least in our capitalist system, we spread the risk a little bit, but we're growing more and more to be a nation where, you know, the Fed decides whether business thrives or mm-hmm. suffers. And quite frankly, no unelected officials should have that kind of power.
Do you believe that the Fed's easy money practices have helped corporate America, not just Wall Street, but corporate America through Wall Street, keep the money out of the economy, keep their cash, help them invest their money in other ways rather than investing it in the economy?
You bet they have. No question about that. In fact, money with a zero maturity, MZM, is a metric published by the St. Louis Fed. In 2008, the MZM figure was around $7.5 trillion. Now it exceeds $14
trillion.
Wow. So we've doubled the amount of money that's sitting in cash waiting to be invested.
Mm-hmm.
And folks are just unsure of themselves. So monetary velocity, that is the number of times that a dollar turns over, has fallen to pre-1960 levels.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much money the Fed creates if it's going to be hoarded up by America's businesses and, you know, the large businesses.
Which is what's happened. Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And consequently, it's happening in little bitty pieces by small businesses across the country. You know, our balance sheets are better than they've been maybe ever.
Because we learned our lessons.
But meanwhile, the economy's languishing.
Well, that's right. And it is because, let's not forget, this CapEx, you know, capital expenditures,
yeah.
capital spending, that's what made this country great in the first place, a businessman's willingness
right.
to take his profits and plow it right back into his enterprise.
And that's what's missing right now, folks.
Absolutely.
What Andrew just described is where the other 2% of our growth is. Quick break.
Mm-hmm.
Right back with Andy, guys. I'm going to let him offer some more of his great wisdom after these messages. And I'm going to ask Andy about the debate, too.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.